Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Show's brought to you by the law firm Condorian Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They are taking the show on the road to Minnesota this weekend. What time's our flight on Saturday?
It's early. I want to say like an 8 o'clock type situation.
8 o'clock is... That's a good flight time, I'd say.
Yeah.
It means you get to the airport around 7, 7.15.
It's a morning
like
situation.
That. Okay. Or Danny gets to the airport at 5.30 or so-ish. Numbers approximate.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking more of a 5 a.m. arrival.
You'll
to the
be
airport.
There at 4 probably.
Yeah.
Is it actually 8 on the nose or is it like 8.50? Do we know?
I want to say it's 8.25 or something of that sort.
If it's 8.25, that is a 7 a.m. airplane arrival for me. I will be there at 7. That'll give me enough time to sit down somewhere and have a sausage link and some scrambled eggs. And to walk up to the gate in time to board.
Sauntering up there. Yeah, looks like 8:25 a.m.
8:25. Very good. So 7 a.m. seem crazy to you? Is that one of those that's going to be nerve-wracking, or are you good with that one?
I think it's about right, actually, okay. For this one. Yeah, a little DCA piece. That makes sense.
DCA is so easy, by the way. What's easier than National
Well,
Airport?
Well, it was easy for everybody, except for my Uber driver for our last trip. I couldn't get the idea that I was, listen, I'm Terminal 1. It's right here. I promise you. Just please take that. No, you didn't take it. We got to go around again.
Goes, it is confusing.
I was like, I have another fare. I was like, good for that other fare. They can't, there's only like hop fences around here, these airports.
You're talking about how you drive past the one old one on the right where the Ronald Reagan statue is, and then you have to keep going to the big normal one.
Yeah, the big normal one.
But we were going out of Southwest at that old joint.
Yeah, we're going to the first one. And I got to go right there. Oh, we passed it again. Two different times. And he kept telling me about the other fare that he had. I was like, that is awesome.
He's annoyed by you.
Yeah.
But all you're trying to do is get to your destination.
And again, if he could have just pulled over further up there and I could have just hop a fence or walk over something, they don't really let you do that at airports. They'd rather you just get out right where you're supposed to get out.
Five things we think NFL edition on Grant and Danny. So I gave you the Steelers needing to make major front office and coaching changes this offseason. I'm not out on Tomlin, still one of my favorite coaches in the league, but he needs to modify big time, and he'll have a chance to do it in another place, I would imagine. He'll get hired right away. The Lions and the Chiefs are both playing games. They got to win to get into the playoffs this weekend. We went through that with the Lions specifically. Third on my list. I don't think the Broncos can win a Super Bowl. You look at the contending teams right now in football, and there's a lot made about who's at the top of each conference and are they any good or not. Like New England, I could see going on a run because they blow everybody out. They don't play these tight games. Everyone wants to talk about their schedule, but they're kicking teams in the teeth. They don't let the Giants hang with them. They just bludgeon them. Denver lets everybody hang around. They've trailed in all 12 games. They're 10-2 in those 12 games, but in this 9-game winning streak, just like New England, they've trailed 9 times.
9 times this semester.
I also have just not been impressed for the entirety of any one game by Bo Nix. There are great moments in every game, and there were in overtime and against Washington, but there was the Bobby Wagner throw, and there's just series where you go, really? Come on, man. Why are you missing that? How did you not see that? That dude's wide open, or you know, whatever it is. They are Super Bowl caliber on defense. Their running game, I have questions, sans J.K. Dobbins right now. I like their receivers. Bo Nix, to me, is not at the level that's good enough. I cannot see them. I would put them more in a Jacksonville bucket, as crazy as that sounds, with that really, really good defense, than a New England or a Buffalo or a Houston bucket.
They're really good, but, and it's probably not fair, because all they've done is, you know, win 10 out of 12 games, and, you know, they got a middle of the road, pretty good even point differential. So it's not all fluky, but if you've watched, you know, you've seen that team kind of, you know, be stuck in the mud for halves, quarters at a time, three quarters of a game, and then do something miraculous. They deserve credit for getting in those spots and winning those games, but they also deserve some blame for having to come back in every one of their wins. Right? Sometimes it's a fluky stat to say they've trailed in every game. That could just be a field goal or whatever. But if you watched, you know, they've been the worst team in each game they've played at one point or another before kind of rallying at the end. They deserve credit for that, but at the same time, they don't look like a Super Bowl team to me.
All right, number four on my list of NFL things I think. Now everyone's going to have to be, we're going to have to put our big boy pants on here for a second. Because I know I'm not allowed to talk favorably about this person. I can talk about 31 quarterbacks in the league. I'm just not allowed to talk about Drake May. But Drake May should be the MVP in the National Football League. I have thought for many, many weeks it was going to be Matt Stafford, and I've understood that, and if it's him, I'll be really happy for him, and I think that would be the best way for his career to kind of wind down. It's the last missing piece to this Hall of Fame career. But as I really dove deep into the numbers yesterday, Drake May's just having a better MVP resume season, if you're doing a blind ballot style on this thing. Drake May passer rating by situation. This is just one of a bunch of stats. This is next-gen stats. Overall first, deep 20-plus first, under pressure 104 first, outside the numbers first, past the sticks first, zone coverage first, tight windows second, against the blitz second, two high safeties first, sub packages first, on first down first, on the road second, when trailing second, outdoors second, third and fourth down fourth. I mean, like, there's not a single situation where he hasn't been amazing. And a lot's made about their schedule correctly as a team. They've had a Charmin soft, or as Ryan calls it, a Charmin soft schedule. A Jeremy Jarman soft schedule. But Danny.
A Prince Charmin. Okay.
They have a top 10 hardest schedule of their offense in terms of the defenses that they played. When I last saw it, I'm just covering my butt by saying top 10, but it was sixth hardest among everyone like a week ago. In terms of who they've played defensively, if you look at EPA per play, it's really not close. It's Drake May head and shoulders over Matt Stafford. He's been second to Jordan Love for the majority of the season. So if you look at completion percentage over expected, he's number one in the league. EPA per play is number two in the league to Jordan Love. Total QBR, he's fourth. Success rate, he's fourth. It would be hard right now, other than just touchdowns and interceptions, to make a case for Matt Stafford, who doesn't move or run or create as much with his feet as May does. He should be the MVP in his second year in the NFL.
It's not crazy. I think he's still a very, very worthy candidate. If Stafford closes well, this is a recency thing, he was the MVP to me before this past weekend's game, where he struggled a little bit against Carolina, that deluge of turnovers, a fumble, a couple interceptions. One was fluky, but that's how these things go. If he ends up on kind of the same pace where he's among the league leaders in touchdowns, second or third in yards, 70% completion percentages for a much tougher division winner where they're the one or two seed in the NFC in a deeper, more challenging conference, I think it'll go to him, and I think that's a perfectly good result there. But it's not crazy to say Drake May is worthy, because he is.
I would bet on Stafford winning it for two reasons. One, I do think, like, if I had a vote, and I'm debating between Stafford at the end of his career or May at the beginning of his, it's a human being voting. It'd be hard not to give Stafford the lifetime achievement, like, hey, you deserve this, man. Walk into the sunset kind of thing. Also, people look at touchdowns and interceptions for quarterbacks as like a main ingredient to quality of season. There's better ways to do it, but that's what they do. It's 32 tutties and 4 interceptions for him.
Mm-hmm.
If he finishes with like 42 touchdowns and 7 picks, and they go 13-4, you're probably going to win the MVP award. Like, that's what's going to happen. So I get it, but I'm just saying, if you're actually talking about value and import to the offense and how much you're creating off schedule and some of these things. Like, I think it's actually hard to, if you're just doing a blind resume. The only thing you could say for Stafford is the touchdowns and the interceptions, basically. Everything else is kind of in May's favor. All right, finally, fifth and final item. Things I think, out of the NFL going into week 14. See if you agree with me here. I believe the winner of Bears-Packers on Sunday is going to win the NFC North. With all apologies to the Detroit Lions. Here's my logic. Okay, let's start with the standings. So in the NFC North right now, you've got Chicago, one half game better than Green Bay. The Bears are 9-3. The Lions are 8-3-1. I've got the Lions losing to the Cowboys tomorrow night. And then I think they lose to the Rams next week. That's seven losses. They got to win three in a row to get to 10-7 to have any hope at squeaking in with help. In the division, though, the Bears are 9-3 and the Packers are 8-3-1. So if the Bears hypothetically win this division, you at worst split with the Packers, so there's no tiebreaker there. They have the Browns, the Niners, and the Lions in Week 18 to finish, which is a pretty tough schedule for sure. But I would say, let's say they go 2-1 in the other games that they don't split with the Packers. The Packers have the Broncos, they have the Ravens, and they have the Vikings. They go 2-1, they split with the Bears. Chicago still wins this thing. So they've basically got to be a game better. I think the winner of this game wins the NFC North, the biggest game of the NFL season to this point. It had been Rams-Seahawks, is now Bears-Packers this weekend.
Well, you touched on it, but to me, because they play twice in 3 weeks, I think whatever step forward is taken, we might have a step back, but there'll be a delayed effect. And here's what I mean. Let's say, for the sake of argument, Green Bay wins this week. Okay, they beat Chicago. Then they lose to Denver when Chicago beats Cleveland. So now they have the same or similar record because that stupid tie. But now Chicago's is by tiebreaker purposes behind Green Bay because they just lost to them. Well, then if they get revenge in 2 weeks, we're kind of back to right where we started again. Where they're 1-1, and then it's really about what they do over the last couple of games for both teams. And Green Bay's got Chicago has I think a little bit tougher road right there with at San Francisco and a Detroit team that's probably going to be starving versus a Ravens team that's coming apart at the seams as Jekyll and Hyde, and Minnesota's a disaster.
Right. So the Lions are kind of in the backseat for now, especially with the two games they have coming up. So it's basically like a Bears or Packers thing.
And I'm with you.
They're playing head-to-head. Yes, could they split in 2 weeks? Absolutely. So if you say, well, hypothetically, this gets undone in 2 weeks. Well, sure, a lot of things could get undone in 2 weeks. But my point is, as of the end of this weekend, like the team that wins, the Bears will be 10-3, and their chances to win the division will massively skyrocket, as will Green Bay's. I don't think there's a bigger game in terms of divisional odds, percentage of winning your division this weekend in the NFL. But I just think that's how it would end, is that the winner that wins this weekend, because the Bears are about to beat the Browns next week, in my opinion, because Green Bay plays Denver.
At Denver.
At Denver, no mm-hmm. less, which is a really hard place to go. I think if the Bears win, they're going to win the North. Like, they could be 2.5 games up on Green Bay and have it clinched. Well, they would not have it clinched because of the head-to-head, but they could be 2.5 games up with 3 to go. They'd have to basically lose out while Green Bay wins out if the next 2 weeks, if they win this week, are chalk.
I hear what you're saying. But to me, again, I keep looking at Green Bay with their final three games, one of them is against the Bears, easier than Chicago's final three games, in my view. And I still think that matters. But the point stands that it's a massively important game. And whoever wins it is in the driver's seat. The thing that Green Bay is going to be kicking themselves over is that stupid tie when Dallas was playing like garbage and they gave that one away. I mean, I know that they have another couple of losses that are horrendous as well, but you could be eyeball to eyeball with Chicago with a slightly easier schedule down the stretch, including playing them twice. They own their destiny, but now they need a little bit more help because of that.
Those are my things I think after 13 weeks of NFL football. Anything you would add to the pile here? Big observations going into week 14.
The 49ers are a Super Bowl contender. Nobody thinks of them that way. They haven't been anywhere near as impressive because their schedule is easy. They're kind of the AFC version of the Patriots. We've done this before with them, haven't we? Where they're kind of just around and nobody really takes them seriously. They stockpile a bunch of wins. Every time they have enough health, they go to the NFC title game. We got precedent there. When they're totally injured, when it's decimated, they finish under 500 and everybody has a joke and that's that. They're getting healthier as they're going. And they're not the pinnacle of health, but it's better than it was. I think that's a team that we're not talking about because everyone else is a little sexier in that division. Seattle's more fun. The Rams with MVP candidate Matt Stafford. New kid on the block, Chicago. The drama in Philadelphia. San Francisco is the most whisper quiet 9-4 team we've ever seen. Again, the schedule's easy, but I think they're a contender. We're not thinking about it.
So along those lines, I do think this is going to be one of the most wide open years I can remember and one of the years that the difference between the top seeds and the bottom seeds is going to be minuscule. In fact, in the AFC, it's possible that the Bills are on the road and favorites, that the Chiefs are on the road and favorites in the playoffs. Like, both of those teams could be wild card teams. There could be a opening round, as an example, where the Bills are playing at the Broncos and expected to beat them. They blew them out in the playoffs round one last year. And then the Chiefs are at the Jaguars or something like that, favorites to knock them off and beat them in the playoffs. Like, that could easily happen. In the NFC, to your point, right now San Francisco could be going to Philadelphia, let's say. You wouldn't think the 49ers would have a great chance to beat the Eagles.
They couldn't win that game?
Or they could go to Chicago. I mean, they would be favorites by 4.5 points maybe at Soldier Field if they went in a 7-2 matchup to Chicago.
If things break their way and they win a bunch of games down the stretch, which I think they can, if let's say they go to Tampa, they couldn't win that game. My point is they're more of a threat than people think.
Yeah.
Speaking of threats, here's another thing I think. The Houston Texans right now are out of the playoffs if they started today. Not only do they get in, I think they won a playoff game for the third straight season. Here's my logic on that. If they're the 7 seed, they'd probably play Denver. That defensive battle, you don't think they could win a 6-3 shoving match? If they're the 6 seed, which would indicate a couple things happened in their division, they'd either be playing the Colts, who they just beat this week, or the Jaguars probably, who would be the 3rd seed. Again, that isn't winnable. If they're the 3 seed, they'd play the inverse of the teams that I just said. They'd probably play one of their divisional opponents, etc. The Texans are a team that nobody wants to see. I think they won a playoff game for the 3rd straight season after we left them for dead a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so I've been saying the Broncos have the best defense in the NFL. Statistically, that is still the case. But right now, Houston's playing the best football. The Texans are hotter, and if I had to move the ball against a defense this weekend, I would rather play the Broncos. We just saw, frankly, Washington did that. They moved the ball up and down the field against Denver's defense. Nobody's done that against Houston for a long time. And it does feel like when you get ahead of the sticks with any kind of semblance of a run game, you have a little bit of a shot against Denver. If you're behind the sticks, Washington made some hay this past week. When you're 2nd and 10 against the Texans, you might as well send out your punter. Like, their pass rush is that good. Their coverage with Stingley on the outside is that good. He's been absolutely amazing. Things we think, NFL edition on Grant and Danny. The Commanders injury report came out this afternoon. Quick look at the injury report. We are now at the part of the week where they don't ask anybody to practice who's been in the league for more than a handful of years, it seems like. So today, Zach Ertz with a rest day, not injury related. Von Miller, rest day, not injury related. And Laremy Tunsil, rest day, not injury related, all not practicing. Also not practicing, Javon Kinlaw had a back injury, and Bobby Wagner with a knee. Might have been some rest in there too, not listed that way though, for him. When Adam Peters came on our show before the start of the season, and we asked him about the age of the team being a problem, he didn't take issue with it, but he said, I don't think it's a problem at all. It's over talked about, basically. He might be right, that the age of the team was not the reason for them being as injury-riddled as they were this season or them having the bad year that they did. Here's what I'm willing to say right now, though. If guys are old enough that they can't practice on Wednesday and Thursday all season long, I need to think about having more than one or two of them on my roster. I watched the Hard Knocks clip last night of Dan Quinn being really excited about actually having guys back at practice, actually being able to do a practice because he had some dudes on the field. I can't afford every single week to go into a week knowing that Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Laremy Tunsil, and Von Miller are all already going to be out a practice maybe one and a half or two of them, just because I don't want to ask them to do a lot on their bodies because that's how beaten up they are. You're behind the eight ball, man. Practice matters or it doesn't. If you want to have a guy like that or two, maybe. You can't have four or five of those guys. You can't have a half dozen dudes.
Where it's standard, Grant. You do it a couple of times in December, fine. This was the first week of work.
I mean, it's every single week, man. Yeah. And this has been happening, to your point, like 2 days into training camp. These guys are getting a day off. Like, this is the plan. This is just what's happened. No wonder why a lot of these older veteran guys want to come sign a one-year deal here to play with these coaches in DQ. They know I can go there and not have to practice but once or twice a week. And, you know, Friday practices are not Wednesday practices. Like, today is a get-back-to-work grueling day. It's today and tomorrow. You got two of those. They'll do the Saturday walkthrough. They'll do the Friday whatever that practice is. But you cannot convince me that their practice habits or just lack of ability to have guys on the field based both on health and then on all the rest days for all the old guys has not affected them this season. You can't convince me of that. So I'm just not signing up to do that again next year. I can't be the oldest team unless this isn't a thing. If you want to be the oldest team and everybody practices all the time, I'll let you be the oldest team. But when you're the oldest team and nobody ever practices because they need rest, I can't do that.
Cosign, if there's a way to rubber stamp that, I would. I agree with everything. I mean, age doesn't matter until it does, right? All we pointed out in the offseason, we got yelled at by a bunch of people, and that's fine. But just raise your hand going, hey, there's usually a correlation between ages and injury and wear and tear and you know, life in this league where you're getting in a car wreck 70 times a week, 17 times over, plus any playoff success you might have. Okay, no one cares about that? Fine. We'll go about our business. Now, again, that's not age is the reason Luke McCaffrey got hurt or, you know, name a couple other younger players. But still, that's the normal NFL attrition. What's not normal is to be this old. And again, some of the guys that I was pointing to, frankly, have actually had remarkable runs of health. The idea that Zach Ertz has played every game since he's been here is incredible, given the recent history before he came here. He was almost out of football because of all the injuries and all the time he was missing, et cetera. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore was healthy, of course, till he wasn't. But that was another a terrible precedent for that kind of a guy. So I'm with you. This is maybe more how it manifests itself as opposed to injuries. It's the, if Zach Ertz got another snap count wrong, like the first time that happened, I go, okay, hey, let's lock back in. It happened twice in a game. It happened again. Like, you don't get to miss practice anymore, dude. You lost your privilege. I mean, I know it's that, it seems like it's that simple, but that is a freshman in high school type mistake where you get benched and the coach grabs you by the face mask and yells at you for 14 minutes and hands you to an assistant. And then that guy yells at you for 14 more minutes. And we're doing that at the highest level there is. The amount of rest type stuff, the softness of it all, hard to ask people to be tough when you're as soft on them as anybody.
How many false starts do you think Zach Ertz has this year?
I know of three. I'm going to guess four.
Five.
Yeah, great.
Week one, week four, two in week nine, and week 11.
That two in week nine is the one that got me. Those two.
Five false starts. Most penalized commander, rookie Josh Connerly. But he only has one penalty since week 10. It was a hold in overtime.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, honestly.
I mean, absolutely.
Put on an island, having to hold some really good defensive ends and pass rushers, fine.
And we talked about his struggles, all the pressures he gave up early in the year. Four of his penalties were in the first 3 weeks. He had four holding calls over the first 3 weeks. This is one of the first times all season he's gone three games with one or fewer penalties. He's really started to lock it in and play a lot better. It's been good to see. Speaking of playing better, the Capitals are looking for a sixth straight win tonight. It's time for a power play.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The locals are 7-4-1 away from Capital One Arena. Charlie Lindgren in net tonight on a back-to-back. Lindgren 4-3-1 between the pipes in his 8 starts this season. Goals against average over a goal higher than Logan Thompson, who's been great at 202. Lindgren's is a much more human 3.12 goals against. Save percentage sub 90%, so he's got some work to do statistically as he continues to get comfortable. He's been much better of late for the Capitals. Tom Wilson on a 48-goal pace. A team high 16 goals for them. Alex Ovechkin does have a dozen. He has picked it up after a slow start to the year. Power play looking better. Big reason why. Ryan Leonard has helped them a bunch.
That has been a nice jolt for sure. They play San Jose tonight. As you said, second game of back-to-back. Tough ask against the team that wants to get up and down. They have a couple names on San Jose that sound like Madden creative player type names. Macklin Celebrini is one of the league leaders in assists. That sounds made up. And then the Will Smith sounds like another generic name. Tyler Toffoli, which sounds again like give me a generic left wing type player in the NHL. But that's a pretty decent team out there out west. Tough task for the Caps to maybe hopefully get a point tonight.
I should point out that from the Commanders injury report, I just went through all the guys that didn't practice. Again, Daniels was listed as limited, still not cleared for physical contact just yet. Big thanks to Ryan and Darius for their work behind the scenes. Toby did his updates from home today. Appreciate him working on the program as always. Lenovertime comes your way next. Linnell has overtime. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Remember, Friday this week, we're in Reston at Craft House. So come on out and see us before we get in the air on Saturday to go out to Minneapolis to watch the Commanders and the Vikings. Thanks for checking us out on Grant and Danny. We will talk with you tomorrow at 2.
Thank you for coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming to your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.